Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, January 7th, 2014. This is Chris Bacon filling in for our host, Ariel Taylor, who is unable to join us this evening. I'd like to welcome our co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. We're honored to welcome distinguished guest this evening, author and intuitive Maureen St. Germain. Her latest book, Be a Genie, by Maureen, assists people in meeting and surpassing their life's dreams and goals, using the laws of quantum physics and secrets of sacred geometry, along with easy-to-learn, step-by-step practical tools and practices found in Be a Genie. Using the principles and practices of the Genie system for the past 20 years, Maureen has created a life filled with love, success, and happiness. Starting with an annual salary of $35,000, she single-handedly paid off $50,000 of both her and her former husband's debt, put three of her four sons through college, and that was a bill of $100,000, manifested the career of her dreams, landed a three-book deal with a major publisher, went on to write the bestseller Beyond the Flower of Life, wrote and recorded over 15 meditation CDs, and married the man of her dreams. It is her passion to help people grow and evolve, and her mission is to help their heart's desires. Visit her website. It's www.maureenstgermain.com, and that's spelled MaureenStGermain. At the top of the show is our Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing news topics of interest to Starseed. I'd like to thank Fiona for hosting Switchboard this evening. If you would like to call in with questions or comments, our toll-free number is 917-889-8292. Be sure to press 1 on your keypad indicating you'd like to come on the air, and Fiona will take you into the screening room to greet you at that time. If you like our show, be sure to press follow on our show page. Our main site is starseedhotline.com and has been coded for Starseed information. There is a wealth of information in our vault. We also have a forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com, and we'd like to thank Rose and Tammy for their great work and dedication on behalf of the Starseed Forum. You can download our show on iTunes Shows to Go or from our Starseed Radio Academy show page archive. If you would like to contact Lavendar, Ariel, Anastasia, or Tammy privately, our toll-free number is 888-881-0881. That number is also available on our website, which is starseedhotline.com. Stage one of Starseed confirmations are available based on Lavendar's discovery of Starseed markings and your natal astrological chart. Our stage two sessions are one-to-one phone sessions with Lavendar, Anastasia, and Ariel. Remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. If you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. Please allow at least 2 weeks ahead of time to make sure that you do get it in time. If you would like a stage two reading to interpret these energies beyond knowing when your 10 hours of power window is, please make sure you book your appointment at least 2 months in advance, because there is a waiting list. And now I'd like to introduce our co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Welcome, ladies.
Well, Lavendar here, and I'm sure that Anastasia has a lot to say about the weather and this polar vortex and no telling what all. So are you there, Anastasia?
Yes, I'm here, everybody. Good evening. Happy New Year. It is 2014, and it's probably going to be a year of significance in many ways. So here we are. We're launching our first show of the year, and it's great to be with all of you. It's good to have you, Chris. You did a great job on the beginning of the show. Thank you so much. Lavendar, it's good to be with you and everybody. So we'll start by talking about the sun, because I don't know if many of you realize, but the sun has flipped upside down. It reversed its magnetic polarity just a few days ago. So, you know, it does this once every 22 years during the midpoint of the solar cycle 24, which is what we're in, actually 11 years now. It reversed its polarity just a few days ago. Its north and south poles reversed, and that puts us to the midpoint of cycle 24, which will end in another 11 years. So the magnetic fields will once again move in opposite directions. And so in another 11 years, they say the poles will switch once again. So that's been interesting. They've been watching the sun for quite a while. It's been fluctuating, carrying on, and they've been anticipating this flip, and it has finally occurred. And also, we have a giant, enormous sunspot, AR 1944, which would swallow up several of our Earths, by the way. It's that large. It did erupt today at approximately 1832 Universal Time and produced a powerful X1 class solar flare. Now, there is a coronal mass ejection that is emerging from the blast site that is heading for the Earth. And in the meantime, we had a coronal mass ejection hit Earth's magnetic field today at approximately 1500 Universal Time. Now, this is another CME that was released earlier, and this impact has not immediately sparked geomagnetic storms. However, they say there may be magnetic storms as the Earth travels through this CME's wake. So a lot going on with the sun. And they say that this sunspot is pointing directly toward Earth and is likely to produce quite a few flares coming up. They said 30% chance of X-class solar flares, along with a higher probability of M-class solar flares. So it's kicking up. And Venus is now going to be called temporarily the crescent planet because it is turning its night side toward Earth as it approaches the inferior solar conjunction on the 11th of January. Now, they say that barely 1% of Venus's sunlit hemisphere is now facing us, which means that the planet looks like a razor-thin crescent. And they say if you have a go-to telescope, which I don't know if any of you have one, it would be great to have one, they say to slew it towards Venus because it's very visible and even visible in broad daylight with a telescope. So they showed pictures of that on the Internet, and it really is very lovely. It's just beautiful. And today there have been 30 fireballs reported, 29 sporadics, and one from a common meteor shower or meteor group. So 29 sporadics is quite a few fireballs that are unanticipated. And there was an impact by a near-Earth object this year. Just happened a few days ago. It was actually discovered a couple of hours before it actually hit the planet, and it landed somewhere in the Indian Ocean. I think it was the Indian Ocean. It was called Asteroid 2014 AA, the very first one named this year. And on January 2nd, like I said, the Mount Lemmon survey spotted it, and within a few hours it actually impacted the planet in the ocean. And there have been multiple fireballs all over the world, and particularly in the 48 states of 50 states of the United States. Over 1,400 fireball reports last week, with booms and the shaking of the ground and house shakings and sounds of explosions. There's just been an outbreak of fireball activity all across the planet. In our country, there was massive ground shaking reported over in the states of Minnesota, with daytime fireballs reported in Michigan, Missouri, Iowa, Indiana, Wyoming, Idaho, Kansas, California, Nevada, and other states. So this is a very active time in the sky. Very interesting. A lot of the states are reporting what they're calling now ice quakes, by the way. But really there is a question as to whether or not this is ice quakes, because I've listened to all those sounds and it doesn't sound like ice quakes to me. It may very well be incoming from the sky. These are people that are reporting their houses shaking. Scientists in the mainstream is attributing it to ice quakes, movement of ice and lakes that is causing the ground to shake. But I think that's probably pretty unlikely. Anyway, there's a lot of going on that way with shaking and booms and sounds that people can't identify. And Lavendar sent me this news piece today, and I thought it was interesting. Lavendar, I tried to track it down. There was very little on it. In fact, some of the video had been pulled off the internet. But the headline read that there was a professional Bigfoot hunter from Texas who claims that he shot and killed the real Bigfoot and that he can prove it. Well, as I scouted around the internet, I was actually able to find one small video attributing this man's story. It's interesting. Apparently, he has been accused of faking Bigfoot video before, but in this particular video that I watched, he actually came forward with a photograph of what he says is Bigfoot. Very interesting face, I might add, on this creature. We don't know if it's real or not. He's claiming that he shot Bigfoot and that he has paraded over 100 people past the body to look at it as witnesses. He says that within a week or so, he will come forward on the internet with his video, his footage, and his test results to verify that he actually captured and killed Bigfoot. So we shall see. And that is a man from Texas. Don't know. Can't say, but that's what's going on out there. And Mount Cinnabung has erupted. We've been talking a bit about volcanoes erupting over the last number of months. There's been quite a few of them. But in Indonesia, they have evacuated large numbers of people around Mount Cinnabung because it has actually been experiencing pyroclastic flows. In fact, there have been 60 pyroclastic flows running from the crater of Mount Cinnabung, and it is stretched to a distance of about 5 kilometers down the slope in the side of the volcano. And they say that the pyroclastic flows are increasing every day. They do have an ash problem. A lot of people are having to go indoors because of ash fall. So it is a fairly serious situation there in Indonesia. They say that the number of displaced persons has currently reached more than 6,000 families, comprising over 20,000 people. And these people are being accommodated at 32 evacuation centers in Indonesia. So they say that the volcano has erupted 37 times in the last few days, with volcanic ash reaching up to 4 kilometers high. So there we have it. That is a major eruption going on in Indonesia. And our final story for tonight is a lovely story about some twins that were born New Year's Eve and also on New Year's Day. They came out at different times, and there were two sets of twins. This was reported by ABC. Two mothers gave two separate births to two separate sets of twins. And the first of the babies was born at the last few minutes of 2013, and the second of the twins, the second set of babies, came out in 2014. And while they were just born minutes apart, they entered the world in two different years. And there were pictures of them on the internet, and it's just absolutely adorable. So that would be really interesting, wouldn't it, Lavendar and Chris, to have twins born in separate years, just minutes apart?
I'd love to see their charts.
Wouldn't that be absolutely fascinating? They said that there were two fraternal twin sisters that were born. Let's see, where were they born? Gosh, I can't tell you. You know, sometimes you have to wade through this stuff. I don't know where. This is an ABC News report, so they didn't give a lot of information. But one of them was born at New Year's Eve at 11:52 p.m., and then at the turn of the clock at 12:00.038, so 38 seconds after midnight, the next baby was born. And that's kind of how the other sets of twins happened as well, one at 11:58 and the other one at 12:01, so just a few minutes apart. And the parents said, of course, not a bad way to end the year and not a bad way to start the year off. So I thought that was really a sweet story. Two sets of twins. There you have it. So that's it for tonight's news. And by the way, Lavendar, you mentioned that polar vortex. I will touch on that just momentarily. There's been a lot of speculation that the polar vortex has been caused by global warming. Well, that is the mainstream take on the story. However, polar vortexes have been occurring for a long, long time. And that is just where the high winds that circulate at a very fast speed up at the poles, they occur both at the north and the south poles of the planet, get pushed down through the jet stream into the lower part of the world, the continents, the lower latitudes. And that's what's been going on. So while there's a big stir about it and a lot of talk about, you know, how major it is, in actuality, this has happened before. And I do recall a particularly tough winter we had in 1994 when we had really serious ice storms in my part of the country. That was a year where the polar vortex also descended some 20 years ago. So it isn't all that uncommon. It does happen. It's not anything really all that unusual. So that's it for tonight's news. I'm looking forward to the show. It's going to be a great program.
Well, thank you. Okay, so we don't have with us our host tonight, Ariel. She's had a death in the family. So later at the end of the show, I want all of us to be able to give her the Emerald Ray. But I'd like to take this moment to talk a little bit about her recording project. And it's been requested by several, so finally she has it completed. She chose each song because of the coding and the lyrics. And I have to tell you that her voice itself also carries the frequency of healing and empowerment. And I've witnessed this over and over through the years when I track the energies of people listening to her. And this is her natural state because she has Venus conjunct her ascendant, and Venus rules the voice. So sharing her gift for music is a big part of her mission. She has 22 songs, and some are original Starseed music that she's actually written. You can download the whole collection as an MP3 file, and I really urge you to go to thestarseedhotline.com/RELSings.htm. That's starseedhotline.com/RELAREILLESings.htm and get your copy of these songs. And she would really appreciate the support at this time. So, Chris?
Yes, I'm so sorry. My car got dropped, but I'm back. And Maureen is on the switchboard. I'm going to bring her on right now.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and there she is. Welcome, Maureen. I'm turning the show over to you, Lavendar.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much also.
Well, Maureen, I had a very long session with you the other day and just felt like I've known you forever. And I told you that when I found this book, your agent had sent it to me, and I kind of hibernated in my bedroom with it for a couple of days, and it became attached at my hip. And I started reading it, and I started tracking it, and I started loving it more and more, and I just can't say enough about this book that you've written called Be a Genie. The way you've written it, the way you've given examples, and I hope that you give some examples tonight right out of your book, because through the examples, I really could track and see how the energy was moving. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been a total blast listening already to the, you know, the news announcements and all the good energy that you create as this radio show begins. So how exciting to be on it. Thank you so much.
Oh, good. Well, you are so starseed. I mean, when I did your chart and I saw all those starseed markings, I went, wow. Is she ready to pull up her sleeves and do starseed work in this lifetime? I guess so. You're doing it. You're on it. You've been on it for years. You might not have called it that years ago, but that I'm calling it that.
Well, I appreciate your label, and actually I have. And it's so interesting because I get very strong information for people when I do private counseling sessions, and I always check in. Are they ready to hear this? And in most cases, they are. Otherwise, they wouldn't be with me. But it was such a delight to have you look at my chart and see all that information validated. And it was so much fun that I handed the recording to my assistant, and I said, have a listen and, you know, see what you think. I think this woman is amazing. And she said to me, Lavendar has so nailed who you are that I haven't seen anything like it that describes you better. And it was, what a treat, because here's somebody who knows me intimately, you know, knows me from, you know, daily work, but is a spiritual seeker herself and on the path. and appreciating the work you do by creating a space for people to get it, who they are. You know, one of the few times that I just blurted it out when someone asked me, who am I? You know, and it was, you're a Pleiadian lightworker who came in, blah, 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 and you basically, you know, stepped down into this service, and some days you're not so happy about that. Anyway, the first sentence of that, this woman looks at me, now this was in Japan, and said, I said those exact same words to my mother when I was 6 years old, and no one ever has said that to me before. So those of you who are listening, welcome home.
Absolutely. Well, I know that it's taken you 20 years to write this Genie book, and why are you releasing it now?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, when I decided to write the book, I was terrified to be an author. I was good at what I did. I worked in nonprofits and fundraising, and I made presentations and all kinds of things. I was in sales, so I was very comfortable with the spoken word and not so sure of myself in the written word. And so I had this big desire to write a book and thought, well, if I created a seminar, then the book would write itself. So that was my original thinking. But alongside of that, I did the very first Genie manifestation where I saw myself having a conversation with a well-known interviewer, and she asked me what the name of the book was. Now, earlier in the week, I had said to myself, you know, I don't mind writing all this stuff that I'm being given, but I'd really like it if I knew what this body of knowledge was called. And then, you know, forgot about it. And now someone's taking me through a guided meditation just for the sake of having someone else lead me. You know, as a close friend, and we were, like, doing for each other. And the minute he said, you know, you're having this conversation, blah, 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 I heard the whole thing. And that was a conversation in the future. And in that conversation, I said to her, well, when I wrote Genie in the Bottle. And so at that point, I knew that the name of the book would have something to do with the genie. Now, in the original versions, which I sold hundreds of copies in manuscript form for like $35, that book was so popular that we kept selling more and more and more, and I was so busy with other projects that I never got around to releasing it. So that's part of the reason. The other thing is, it took me until today for me to have the aha, because the genie is secret knowledge. The genie is empowering knowledge. And the storyline is, if the genie gets out of the bottle, you know, he'll wreak havoc, he'll do some kind of damage. But in truth, it's because once the genie gets out, the genie can do whatever he wants or whatever she wants. And if you're the genie that's been locked in a bottle, once you get out, sky's the limit. And that's why the universe picked that name, to make sure that everybody would get it, that this was secret knowledge and, as you described, star knowledge because of all the codes that are in it.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, years ago, and this will tell everyone how old I am, but when I Dream of Genie came on television, I just got hooked. And I got hooked in a really, I mean, I was obsessed with it. And I knew that it was true. And I would tell my parents, I said, this is for real. And they'd say, no, it's not. And I'd say, yes, it is. All that we're watching, this is real. And then years later, I started seeing the reruns. And I haven't seen the reruns for a long time. I haven't seen them out there. But it was a program that always caught my attention. Later on, when I realized more about my bloodline and who I was and everything, and then I looked at my mother, because my mother, she can't open a jar of pickles without, you know, blowing it up. And she's one of those people that can't change a light bulb either, because she has all those electromagnetic energies. So after a while, I started calling her a genie. And lo and behold, I did find out that through a bloodline lineage way back when, she was actually holding the bloodline of a genie.
I love it. I just love it. Well, you know, it's interesting. My darling sister, who passed away about 10 years ago in a car accident, used to call me Genie. And it is a slang of my middle name. And at the time, I thought of it as a pejorative, and I wasn't too happy about it. But now I'm looking back, and I'm thinking, she probably was more prophetic than I realized.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she's, you know, so that's very, very fun. So yes, I would love to tell some stories about
the book. Why don't you walk us through a little bit about how you do the lighthouse in the movie projection.
Okay. All right, so one of the ideas of the work is that we call it the genie system because there's a number of elements that are required in every single manifestation or every single creation. And the elements are in three parts. The first part has to do with looking backwards in time. And most people, when they go to create something, all they can do is think of achieving it. So let's say you want to get married to your dream guy or dream gal. You're looking at, you know, the moment of getting married rather than something that happens afterwards to prove it was a happy, successful marriage. Because you could marry the dream partner and have everything fall apart. I mean, they make movies about that. So in the case of the movie in the lighthouse, what we do is we look at the lighthouse and we say, this is a movie set, and you get to control everything. You get to control the lights, camera, and action. And you're in the movie after you've already achieved your heart's desire. Now, what happens is your verb tense changes. If you're using would-be sentences instead of I feel or I can see, you're in the looking forward at it. What you want to do is look backwards at it from a point in time that proves that it was so wonderful. So in this movie set, you're clinking glasses with your beloved, and you're looking at this person and saying to them with great sincerity, I am so happy that we met. My life has never been this wonderful. I'm so grateful that you're in my life. And then you hear what they say. Now, what's so important about this is giving yourself permission to make it a movie set gives yourself permission to add this person as a real player in the reality. And what it does is it infuses that matrix that you've just created with so much realism. Because when I say to you, imagine the person that thanks you for doing, and then you name, fill in the blank, you know, whether it's writing the book or creating the movie or, you know, as a listener, what is it that you want to do? You know, is it, you know, you want to create something, you want to invent something, you want to, you know, be the best at something, whatever it is, if you could imagine someone coming to you and saying, I am so grateful that you did this, you know, here you are as a very talented person, but you paved the way for so many astrologers, for example. And to have someone come to you and say, you know, I wouldn't be able to do what I do if it hadn't been for you. And that sense of ownership is so powerful. It changes how you feel. It changes your heart chakra, and you start to vibrate. Now, if it hasn't yet happened, but yet you're imagining that conversation in your head, it anchors it in. And it is the very act of looking backwards in time that allows you to see something you had not been able to see before, because what happens is that conversation takes on a life of its own. And when it does, you will hear the other person say something that you didn't write in your script for them. So as
wow.
It evolves, it becomes so alive that you are experiencing what's going on in the quantum soup of all possibilities. And that one has been enlivened. That movie has been played so many times, it is the default position for your future. Now, I will tell you a story, and this kind of tells you how this rubs off. I didn't proselytize with my sons. I chose to expose them to a lot of stuff, and I gave them Sunday school lessons, and I taught them what I knew. But I never said to them, you need to, or don't say it that way, like I would my students. I just felt it was a bad idea. And I also felt that by age 11, they had learned everything that they needed to learn from me, which included integrity, honesty, sincerity, keeping your word, and so on, and that everything else would take care of itself. So imagine my surprise when my college-age student came home from a European trip between semesters that his college had sponsored and told me this story, that the choir had gotten waylaid, which I had known, and they were not able to come home on the day they were scheduled to come home. So they flew from Frankfurt to London, and now everybody's stuck in London due to inclement weather. And the first day was pretty easy because, you know, the airline provided the food, the hotel room, et cetera. But then they all had to troop back to the hotel, back to the airport without any sense of when is this drama. And because Heathrow was filled with tons of stranded travelers, it, you know, exaggerated their own angst and fear. You know, and these are still young people who may not have done a lot of overseas traveling. And although they're in a country that speaks their language, it's still a foreign country. And so some of the girls were complaining, you know, and whining. And he actually overheard a couple of the women and said, I don't know about you, but I intend to get home today. And they just continued their little drama. And about an hour or so later, the band, or the choir director came to them and said, the airline proposes that we split the group. They've got room for 20 or so kids right now. I've arbitrarily selected the first group that goes home. Here you are. If your name is on this list, you're going today. The rest of you, we'll have to figure something out for the next, you know, for the next opportunity. But it was the only way we could start to get you guys home. He was on that trip. He was on that first plane home. And the rest of the kids, the ones that were complaining, they didn't get home for a couple more days. Now, even someone said to me recently, well, do you think those kids remember? And my answer is probably not. Because when you're stuck, you don't notice that you're malpracticing yourself and that you're creating what you don't want.
So let me ask you, did your boy acknowledge what he had done with you?
I don't know the answer because, again, I choose not to do the I told you so thing. When he told me the story, I went, wow, that's really cool. Because, and this is a piece of advice from a mom who, you know, who's raised four young people, and they're all adults. Those of you who have kids, the best way to get your teenagers to tell you the truth and to tell you their stories is to become the cheerleader and not the advice giver. You gave them advice years, you know, 0 through 10 or 12, and after that, they're thinking for themselves. And the faster you get that as an adult, as a parent, the easier it is for them to transition. Because here's what happens. They'll tell you, well, you know, I thought such and such, or Mom, I was thinking about doing this. And if you say, wow, well, what are you going to do if such and such happens? They have to think it through and share it with you. And they will always default to what they know. If you say to them, well, you know, such and such happens, you better do such and such, then they've got to prove to you that they know something that you didn't tell them. So by creating a space for them to become manifestors or co-creators of their own life, you're actually teaching them how to manifest in a very subtle way. And it's not easy. You know, I had to do, you know, meditation and spiritual work to take off my mom hat. So I wouldn't be the mom who always had the answers. You know, when you're a single parent, you tend to overdo it anyway. So I'm happy to report that I learned to do this. And the proof was when their father said to me, they always tell you stuff, but they don't tell me. And as the story progressed and he asked me, well, you know, how do you do that? I said, I asked them if they had any plans for the summer. You asked them, are you going back to work for the hardware store like you did last year? So he thought you wanted him to work at the hardware store. I gave him such an open-ended thing that he might not even be working. I was crossing my fingers that he was going to tell me he had a job, but I wasn't telling him to get a job.
Yeah, I see that. That's marvelous.
Well, that's so enlightened and wise. We just need to propagate this on an international level. It's just wonderful. I love to hear this.
Thank you, Anastasia. You know, Maureen, there was one little story that I read about the coal miners. Would you tell that story?
Oh, sure.
About the coal miners that
were trapped. This is not my original
trapped.
Story. Yeah, this is not my original story. I got this from Deepak Chopra, and I think I gave him credit in the storyline. But the story is about a group of miners that had been behind a collapse, and they knew how to figure out how much air they had. They knew they had enough for 2.5 days. Only one of them had a timepiece, and so he started keeping track of the time so that they would know, you know, how much time they had till they could get rescued. And the timer decided on his own to change his reporting. So every 2 hours, he reported that only 1 hour had gone by. And no one seemed to know any different. I mean, you know, when you're in the dark, you really don't know the difference of how much time has gone by. And they were rescued after 5 days, and everyone was alive except for one person. Now, when I heard this story, I wanted to do the math because I didn't believe it. I thought, ah, come on. But when I did the math and I started counting, you know, 2 hours for every 1 hour, what happened is they were rescued on their day 2.5. And so they still had half a day's worth of whatever it was to make it because that's what their belief system was.
But the timekeeper, he's the one that passed
away,
right?
Did not survive. That's right. He's the one who did not survive. And you can imagine that when he passed away, that somebody else started keeping the time, and nobody was the wiser. Nobody, you know, understood. Now, I recently read a story about a secret trip to a planet through a Stargate, a true story. And they actually reported in their journals that at a certain point they lost track of time because the time was so much longer on the planet they were staying on that they couldn't keep track of the time on Earth anymore. They just kind of lost that rhythm. And it makes sense. You know, they've done studies that were reported years ago of people being in the rooms and the facilities in Las Vegas where they don't have windows. And they do that so people don't have a sense of time, of how long they've been there. And it's a city that's, you know, open all night anyway, so it really doesn't matter when you finish doing whatever you're doing. And the study proved that the human cycle is 20 hours awake, 10 hours asleep. So, of course, when I hear that, I think, well, that proves it. We're not from here. Because
that's
you
right.
know, the
We're
cycle
not.
Here. I agree. But it's such a kind of fun, funky way to interpret that piece of information. But that's my take on it, that we're truly not from here. Because if we were, we would have evolved to be in sync with this planet, and we're not. And so that's why, you know, people can, you know, be up for 20 hours straight and then, you know, catch the sleep on the other end.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
So
you had sent me a list of questions, and one of your questions is, how is it different from The Secret? Is there anything like The Secret? A lot of our listeners, of course, have seen The Secret, the video. Would you please comment on that?
Yes. I'll start by giving you a piece of feedback that I got from a client who had studied quite a bit of The Secret material and said, came back to me after class and said, finally, I can understand The Secret. I never understood what they were talking about. So what you will find in the Be a Genie book is the mathematical examples that help people understand why things work the way they do. Now, here's what happens. Many of us are pretty good at manifesting, but then logic kicks in, and the logic says something different about the reality, and so then we dismiss what we had, you know, thought or created. So I'll give you an example. Years and years ago, my angels and guides taught me to say two positives for every negative, and I was in a really funky situation. I was very unhappy at a new college. My parents had convinced me to move because they didn't like the boyfriend I had, and I made a contract with the angels that I would do this to help me get out of my funk. So pretty soon the director of admissions came to me and said, I want you to lead the new students, the prospective students. So what I was doing is every time we said something negative, And who doesn't say something negative, right? You know, like, oh, the food's terrible, oh, the teacher's bad, whatever. To follow it with two positives. Yeah, but we're covering such great subjects. Or, yeah, but the donuts are awesome. Whatever it is. But we have to have two of those. Now, years later, I discovered how noise-canceling headphones work. Now, this is a piece of what is now classified as chaos theory and quantum physics, where we learn how things work. And it turns out that noise-canceling headphones, which we've all heard of now, they've been around for maybe 30 years. The military's had it way before we did. An offending sound that occurs, like a lawnmower or a jet engine, is recorded in the headphones. And then the technology in the headphones reverses that or creates the opposite sound wave and plays it in sync with the offending sound. So now there's two waves that are on top of each other, and it collapses because they're identical, and they literally collapse on top of each other, thus negating the sound. Now go back to the two-first idea, and you can begin to understand that there's actually a scientific proof behind something that I was taught years ago. And here's what happens. When the, you know, the logic part of us, the part that we've been taught in the West, how to keep ourselves safe, you know, you wear a coat in the winter and so on, when you hear a very clear, logical, scientific understanding of something, and you get it, then all of a sudden, the esoteric principle that you can apply it to suddenly becomes crystal clear, and you don't undo it. So I like to tease and say, well, you know, imagine that every time you said something negative, you could erase it. And the answer is you can with twofers. Or what if every time you had a piece of chocolate or some other high-calorie thing that you love, you could erase it? And so the joke is every time you have a chocolate, then just follow it with two anti-chocolates and all is well. And why do you have to have two? And the answer is the first one negates the negative thought. But as long as we're on that subject, let's add a seed to manifest what we really want. So, you know, if you don't want a husband who comes home drunk, what you do want is somebody who's a good provider or somebody who is generous. And so the first thing I don't want has to be canceled out. And the canceling out is, but I would like it if I were with somebody who was a good provider. And then the second positive is, I'm also looking for somebody who knows how to spend money well. Now, it's very interesting. It's very interesting, especially when you apply it to the present situation, because so many times we're stuck in a situation that we don't like because all we do in our head is play the broken record of what we don't like. So I hate my boss, but I love my coworkers, and we've got a great vacation schedule. Does it? I hate my boss. I've got a great husband and great kids. Doesn't do it. So what you want to do is be aware that you're choosing a antidote that is at parity with a negative. And honestly, I don't know anybody who stopped thinking a negative thought before they thought it. I think it's quite funny. How can anybody do that? You can't. You can try to change your habits. You can try to pay attention to your speaking, but it's a lot more fun to make a mental contract to always offer up two positives for every negative. You're populating the universe with your good vibe.
I love that. I love that. Would you talk a little bit about the Phoenix sequence? And you talk about your sacred geometry in the book, which just really excited me. So let's talk about that for a little bit.
Okay. So a lot of people are afraid when they hear the word geometry. And I will tell you, you know, hang on to your hat for a few more seconds. You're going to be quite impressed. The energy that I figured out, the Phoenix sequence, came from all the work I did with the Merkaba and learning meditation and teaching it to thousands of people all over the world. And I would do this workshop week after week, and I would go into meditation week after week, and the material itself taught me something new. So sacred geometry is this understanding of the relationships that exist in nature and the fact that they have a mathematical relationship, not only to mathematics, but to each other. And it is the relationships that cause us to create. So the best example I can give you is the way a rose grows. Anybody who's ever grown tea roses, you know that the stem will throw first one leaf, then two leaves, then three leaves, then five, and then it throws a bud. And if you're trying to get the most roses from your rose bush, you always leave a five-leaf stem on the bush, because if you don't, the bush will grow another fiber before it gives you another flower. Now, if you know a little bit about sacred geometry, you may have heard of this thing called the Fibonacci sequence. Also very familiar to this number set I just gave you, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, and so on. And that particular sequence is based upon any adjacent pair added together produces the next number. So if you're on 8 and you want to know what follows, all you have to do is look at the previous number, which is 5, and you know that the next number is 13, because 5 and 8 are 13. Now, what's so interesting is it is the relationship between those two numbers that produces this magical formula, which I call source code. And source code is called phi. Source code is the golden mean. Source code is found in the golden rectangle. Those are all synonyms for the same concept. And the golden mean is a relationship that's found in the Parthenon. It's found in the World Trade Center. It's found in the Great Pyramid in Egypt. It's found in the physical body. It's found in the relationship of the bones of the body. So if you measure from the length of the little finger to the knuckle, and then to the first knuckle and then to the wrist, that's in phi, and it's found in the DNA. And so we begin to look, and the more we look, the more we find it. It's even found in the relationship between Venus, the Sun, and Mercury. So why would this particular ratio or this particular formula be so important? And I believe it's source code. So it's the map that takes us in. So what happened is I realized that you could create this relationship through any pair. And the pair could be a number like 8 and 2 million. And you would add them together in the same way that we did the Fibonacci sequence. And that would produce phi on the 9th and 10th iteration. And that's what we call the Phoenix sequence. Now, imagine this. I'm standing in a workshop in Atlanta. A room full of people, and this woman raises her hand, and she's a clerk in a law office. And she said her heart's desire is to own a horse rescue farm. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, my goodness, she's about as far away from her goal as she could possibly be. And here she is stating this. So now I'm looking at, okay, we've got a number like 3, and we've got like a number like 3 million. And we're going to, you know, loop those over and over. And, you know, you pay attention to what's going on, and there's a lot more here, but I'm kind of, you know, narrowing it down. A year later, this woman calls me. She actually sends me an email first, and she says in the email, you know, that genie system, it really works. I got hitched. And I thought that was so funny, because what a horse-sensing way to say I got married. But who did she marry? A man who owns a horse farm and a horse food, organic horse food company, and she's helping him with his website and helping him grow his business. She's a whole lot closer to that horse rescue farm than she was a year earlier.
I love that. That's a great story. I love. You just have so many exciting stories all through this book. Like I said, the examples that you give. You'll read a chapter, you close your eyes, you go, wow. And then you really, you know, it's like I look through your eyes as you're writing it. It's like, oh, wow, what a writer you are. So tell us, give us some more examples like that. We love to hear stories like that.
Okay. So let me talk about the very first time I presented my material, because I think this is a real remarkable story. Here I was working for a nonprofit. I wasn't making a lot of money, and I got the idea that I really wanted to help people with manifestation, because I knew I was doing pretty good with manifestation, and I was wanting to get better at it. And I thought it would help me write this book that was on my mind. And, you know, 4 or 5 weeks later, I'm at the national convention, and I run into an old friend who I knew from some other coursework, and she said she was leaving the business, but it felt important to have a conversation with her. And every time I tried to talk to her, or, you know, we tried to set something up, we couldn't do it. So finally I said, look, I'm willing to get up early the day you leave. Would you be willing to get up early before before you leave for the airport? And she said, sure. So we met for breakfast, and she tells me her story. I tell her mine. And at the end of my story, because I know she's leaving the business, I'm feeling very safe, and I share with her my little dream that I'd like to be a presenter at this national conference. Now, keep in mind, you know, 5,000 people show up, and they have big, big name speakers, and what I'm seeing for myself is to be one of the breakout speakers. So she looks at me, and she said, well, Maureen, you have to submit a proposal to the education committee, and it has to be reviewed by staff before they get it. And I looked at her and said, I know that. And, of course, you know perfectly well the way I said it. I didn't know that. And so then she said, yes, but the deadline is in 2 weeks because the staff has to review it, and then they send it off to the committee that meets in 3 weeks for next year. And I looked at her and went, wow, well, I didn't know that. And then she hit me with a pièce de résistance and said, you know, if you get this done and the staff approves it and it makes it to the committee, I will speak in favor of it because I sit on the committee. And last year I made a really big deal that we did not have enough interpersonal training for the actual development directors. And I think this course hits the mark. I only told one person. I still had to show up. I still had to write a good enough proposal that the staff would approve and get it to the committee. I had 2 weeks to do it. I had 100 people in the first presentation I did. That was my goal. And I had a genie manifestation for the actual outcome once I got accepted as a presenter. Never having presented before in a national organization, but having attended plenty of conventions in my time, I knew that the way those breakout sessions work is people go from breakout session until they find the one that pleases them. And it's considered normal. So it's a little bit like bar hopping. Oh, this place isn't happening. Let's go to the next one. And so my mission, my goal for myself was that the material would be so riveting that no one would leave the room and that people would continue to come in and there would be standing room only. And that's what happened. So, of course, they invited me back. They said to me, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to have a bigger room for next year? And I said, yeah, we probably should go up. Let's increase it to 150 since we had standing room only and we only had 100 seats. So they were fine with that. Everything was cool. But as the time approached, I realized, you know, I haven't put enough effort into this. And so I became a little bit self-conscious about maybe I hadn't done my part, you know, to show up, to do what I was supposed to do. And there was a lot of family drama going on at the time, and I was really very preoccupied with other things. So as the day came for me to present, I am really a nervous wreck because I've convinced myself that I should have worked harder to earn this opportunity and that I should be more prepared and I should have put more effort in. So I'm, of course, in the cheapest hotel they've got because I have a poor little nonprofit I work for, and we're the furthest away from the convention center. So when I get on the bus to get to the convention center, I kind of spread out. I'm looking at my materials like, that's going to help me, you know, like cramming for a test. And I'm very self-absorbed. And all of a sudden I realize, you know what, this bus is filling up. And so I pick up my stuff, you know, and I pack it all away, and I, you know, try to not be so anxious. And then now we've got standing room only in the bus, and somebody gets on and moves past all the standing people to get to me because I've got the only seat available. And she looks at me and she said, can I sit here? And I said, of course you can. And then she looked at me and she pointed her finger and she said, I know you. You're the lady who presented that material, and I want you to know it changed my life. That's the synchronicity that tells you, even if you think you're going to fail, you're not going to fail. synchronicities will point you where you need to go. And if you look for them and use them as markers, it helps you hang on, helps you keep going.
I love that story. I love that story. I also love the story about how you paid for your boys' college tuition. Can you give us a little brief outline about how you did that?
I'd be happy to. Initially, I had to manifest $5,000 per semester for my share of his huge bill at a very prestigious college. I didn't know how I was going to manifest it, but I worked really hard and came up with the $5,000. At the end of that term, I thought to myself, oh, my God, I can't go through this another 7 more times. This is too hard. And so then I thought, well, what is it that I really want? And the answer was I wanted $40,000 to cover all 4 years. I didn't want $5,000 per semester. And now $40,000 was not something I had ever owned. So even though I had worked with big budgets in my corporate world, that was never my money. I never felt like I owned it. And so I was so terrified that I would fail that I couldn't even imagine what it would be like if I had $40,000 in my bank account. And so then I thought, well, what is it that I want? What's the image of what is it that I want? Again, this is part of the genie material because it helps you crystallize an image that helps you know that this has already occurred. So I finally settled on an image of my son in his cap and gown and a conversation I would have with him there. But the problem was I was so scared I couldn't even imagine that. And every time I tried to imagine, it was like I was blank. I was like a doe in the headlights. So I thought about it and realized I could bring a picture from home of his high school graduation and pretend that it was his college graduation. And I only said two things. There were some scary moments, but it wasn't that hard. And the reason you have to have two statements in a situation such as this is because you cannot resist the present. Because if you do, you're going to create more of it. So, yeah, I was terrified. So, for sure, there were plenty of scary moments. And then the future I was creating was, it wasn't that hard. That ensured that it would get easier and easier. And it did. I could barely get that young man to stand still when I gave him my little speech. And there's a little sidebar to this. I don't know if you have time for it.
Of course. Go ahead.
Okay. So the sidebar is that the day before he left for college, I had a dream. And in the dream, he didn't finish college. And I was so freaked out as the mom that I came to him and told him, and he reassured me and said, Mom, don't worry, you're going to way too much trouble, and I'm going to put in too much effort for me not to finish. And I said, so you promise? And he said, of course, I promise. Okay, end of story. But then, as he got close to graduation, he's been accepted for graduation, he's ordered his cap and gown, his name is in the program, somebody at the administrative office realizes that he dropped out of a course, a half a course, or whatever it was, not very much, you know, like one half of a credit, that was a required credit for graduation. And they sent him a letter saying, sorry, you don't qualify. We're withdrawing you from the list of people who are getting diplomas. And he calls me to tell me this. And you already know my mom drill, so all I said was, wow, what are you going to do? And he said, I'm going to graduation anyway. I got a cap and gown. My name's in the program. The heck with those guys. So the whole family showed up. He threw his cap in the air, just like they all do, on the lawn of the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument, because he was in school at a Washington, D.C. college. And I made my little speech. There were some scary moments, but it wasn't that hard. And I achieved my outcome because my goal was for him to graduate. And you can't go through graduation. They won't even let you get in the program if you haven't paid your bill. And that was my drama. That was my part. Who knows why he didn't get his actual diploma? It doesn't matter now because he's so far into his career and he's so well respected that it wouldn't make any difference at this point. He's treated as if he did finish. But it's kind of a funny afterthought that when you think about your manifestation, one of the things that you want to pay attention to is what is the picture of what I am choosing? What is the picture going to look like that's going to prove I got what I wanted? And that's a very interesting concept, because you're not saying prove that it happened. No, prove that I got what I wanted. And that's a very different kind of way to manifest. And I have the Phoenix sequence behind it to support that. So as you begin to work with all of this information, it just kind of drops into your field and literally turns you into a genie on your own. And you're holding the secret source codes of the ages.
Wow. You know, you being a mystic probably helped you write this book, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, in the beginning, in the prologue somewhere, I say, you know, that I intuited all this information and then went looking for the proofs. A very interesting thing happened when I talk about the cell membrane theory. And I was writing about this and getting very clear information, you know, downloading from source, and I got told, go to the Internet and Google this category. And that's what I did, cell membrane theory. And I found Bruce Lipton before Bruce Lipton was somebody. I found his material and his ideas and his theses, and it was long before he ever wrote a book. That was, for me, a big thrill, because that's when I knew I was pulling it right from the universe. And what I have the blessing of is pulling all this information in and being able to literally sort it out in such a way that a person can learn step by step how to do this, very easy, real simple, straightforward formulas, and tons of examples so you don't get scared or worried that you're not going to be able to do it.
Well, I think that you are a living testament to your work, and I just encourage everyone to you know, grab a hold of your book. Now, your website is www.maureenstgermain.com. That's MaureenStgermain.com. And you remember I asked you, I said, how did you come up with your last name, St. Germain? Would you mind telling our audience what you told me about your name?
Oh, I'd love to. As an 11-year-old in a Catholic school, could not find in my choices a name that I liked for my confirmation name. And finally, I came across the name of St. Germain. And I was already way past the deadline. You know, the nuns were giving me a hard time and saying, you have to put something in here. And my response was, I can't give you a name if I don't have it yet. So you're just going to have to wait. And so when I got the name, it was a pretty big deal because I had to wait for it. So I settled on this name of St. Germain. Then, you know, when I went through the end of my first marriage, I was working on a numerology chart for someone else, and in the middle of it, I got a very clear message to run the numbers on Maureen St. Germain, which I did. And it was very evident how it harmonized with what I knew to be my mission. But, you know, I had been working in the corporate world. People like that didn't change their names. And I remember just kind of, you know, gnarling at it. And finally, I asked the question, you know, so what am I supposed to do? You know, there's big silence. And so then I said, okay, fine, am I supposed to change my name? And the answer was yes. So I thought, well, I don't know, you know. And I had been getting these requests from my attorney. I'll bet you he asked me a dozen times, do you want to change your name? Every time he talked to me, do you want to change your name? And every time I always said no. So I called him up and I said, I'm thinking about changing my name. And he said, well, good, how do you spell that? And as I'm spelling it, I'm thinking to myself, I'm just checking my options here. And he said, you know, it's a good thing you called me today, because if it had waited till tomorrow, it would have been too late. So many of us are in a position where our feet are put to the fire, and we either have to leap or miss the boat. And you've done it, and I've done it a bunch of times, and this was a huge thing for me to change my name. But I did. And I discovered later, in hindsight, that the letters of my maiden name and my first married name are all able to produce the name of Saint Germain.
How perfect is that?
Kind of like what you said about my star chart.
Yeah.
It's a good lineup.
Good. Well, it's like, you know, you planned this before you came anyway, so.
Yeah.
Like, you
yeah,
just
I
needed
did.
To remember
yeah,
the
did.
Name that you were going to use when you got ready to suit up and just really, you know, rip the Band-Aid off of all these people that are, you know, reading your book, because that's what's happening. It's like, oh, it may hurt at first, but, oh, doesn't it feel good now?
What a great metaphor. That's so funny. That's so funny.
Yeah.
And I have to give you credit for a lovely metaphor that you made, and I've heard it twice. So you said that you were reading the book and you were practically levitating off the bed, and then you said, has anybody else reported this to you? And it just so happened that the interview I did last week, on the air, the woman said, oh, my God, this information is so phenomenal. I'm levitating off of my chair.
Well, it does that. As you're reading along and you're into the alignment and the stories, and, you know, you look at the resistance of your life and the resonance of your life, and then all of a sudden you go, yes, and then you're soaring, and then pretty soon you're up on the ceiling, you're going, and you're looking down at the bed going, oh, how'd I get up here? So,
yeah.
Anastasia, are you there? Is she there, Chris?
No, she's not. She had to leave.
Okay,
so.
Sorry. Okay, well, Chris,
yes, ma'am.
Do we have any callers on our switchboard, or would you like to say something? Or
Well, we have a lot of callers on the switchboard. None of them have pressed one yet to come on the air, so if any of you have a question, I really encourage you to do that. And if you're listening on your computers, I'll give you the call-in number again. It's 917-889-8292, and you press one on your keyboard. And guess what? Somebody just did that, and Fiona is going to go and talk to them, and we'll bring her on the air. I think it's a her. Shortly. So I do have something to say, Maureen St. Germain. When I was speaking with Lavendar earlier today, I said, it sounded like an order, you know, buy this book.
You'll thank me later.
I have already done it. I went on the website. I was on your website. I was sorry to see that it wasn't in Kindle yet, because then I could have read some of it before the show.
Oh,
but,
we're having such a battle with those guys.
Oh, well, anyway, I purchased the book, and I'm really looking forward to its arrival, and really enjoyed your interview and everything that you had to say. And when you talked about at the beginning about feeling like you're in the bottle, oh, man, there I am. So I can't wait to receive this book.
Excellent. I'm very happy to hear that, and I'm very happy that you got the order.
I said, it sounds,
you know,
like an order,
I
think.
Yeah, that's funny, and it's very interesting that you heard it that way, but in a joyful, yeah, this sounds like an order, but considering where it came
definitely.
From, it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you know how I am. I just shoot from the hip, and, you know, sometimes
I
don't realize what it sounds like coming out of
my
mouth.
But think of it this way. Your team, your listeners all love you so much, and they know that you're not going to tell them something that isn't so,
that's true.
So they can. You know, it reminds me of when I've been in Egypt. And sometimes we get these phenomenal opportunities to get up early and get into a sacred site before it opens, which gives us a private opportunity to have sacred ceremony. You know, and some people aren't early risers, and even if they get a cup of coffee or something, they're still, like, glaring at you, you know, like they're just not ready to wake up. And I always smile sweetly at them and say, you'll thank me later.
Well, I just have to say that Lavendar doesn't often say, you've got to do this. And when she does, I pay attention and do it, because, you know, especially if it's a personal you know, thing. So I just kind of had to laugh when she was just, you have to get this book. So it's on its way. And guess what? We have Debbie on the line right now, and I believe she has a question about the Flower of Life. So I'm going to bring her on right now. Okay, there you are. Welcome, Debbie. You're on the air live with Maureen St. Germain.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
So how can I help you? Yeah.
Yeah, I was. I sometimes just like to look on Blog Talk and see what kind of show to listen to, and I clicked this, and I was for winterizing my house. But I'm so glad I did, because I was going, and then finally, when I heard you talking about the Flower of Life, I have been doodling the Flower of Life and not really knowing what it means. Now I'm so excited to get your book, Beyond the Flower of Life.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would I just draw this information without knowing what it is?
Well, you remember Strange Encounters of the Fourth Kind and how the protagonist was playing with his shaving cream, and then he was playing with the mashed potatoes, and I always called it the Mashed Potato Mountain. And then the little boy
yeah.
made a sand pile. You're imprinted with coding that is coming out. And the actual design itself of the Flower of Life is very, very powerful. And it tunes us and helps us keep our heart open. So just the fact that you're drawing it and attracted to it is aligning you with your highest possible vibration, which makes it easier for you to make good choices. That vibration, that energy imprints on you, and then when it comes time to make choices, it's just easier to make the choice that's going to give you the most evolved expression of you. The other reason why people get this image, and I've been drawing it since I was a child, so I can totally relate, is that it may be that you're supposed to learn that body of knowledge. Now, I only have a few classes of that a year because I did that already, but there is a recording of it, and you can buy either the short, abbreviated version, or if you're really interested in the big body of knowledge that came through me as a result of teaching this work, then get the full workshop version and you know, take your time, because it's like 18 hours. Really a wonderful body of knowledge that has been preserved for you. So.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that. It's a question I've just kind of asked the universe, and it got answered today. Thank you so much. I didn't levitate, though.
Well, your phone, fingers went to the right buttons. It's pretty close.
Yeah. And I have a radio not on, and I was listening to you, and the radio, even though it's the speaker on the radio that's not on because I'm listening on my phone, it was zapping. So I had to turn it off, even though it wasn't on anything. That was kind of weird.
I love it. I just love it. And this is the universe confirming, you know, go for it. Keep going. Another thing that happens, and this I describe in the book Beyond the Flower of Life, is the lights will flash. You'll make some pronouncement, you know. You'll be talking about something and brainstorming about it, but then you finally come to a conclusion, yeah, we should stay here for another couple of years, and boom, the lights flicker.
That does happen too.
Yeah, yeah. Nice confirmation from outside to help you, to support you.
Wow, okay. Wow, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Debbie, for calling in and listening to the
show.
Oh,
no problem. I'm going to keep listening.
Okay, thank you for calling. Bye-bye. Okay, we don't have any other... we don't have any other callers with a question at this time.
Well, maybe we'll just hang on for a little bit longer. They may decide to call in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I noticed that, Maureen, on your website, and you're talking about the Flower of Life, and that made me think about Barbara Evans and the work that she does.
Oh, what a darling she is. She's a good friend of mine.
Guys, I wonder, because I saw that you have her empowerment cards on your website, and I thought, oh, well,
yes. They
must be doing something together. So that's really nice.
Well, you know, it's a very interesting thing. One of the things that I have always done is promoted other people along with myself. Mm-hmm. And the reason I do that is the same reason you do your radio show, because you know that what goes around comes around, and you know that by helping others discover these wonderful people, you're helping yourself, and everybody gets elevated. And so I met Barbara at a trade show, and I fell in love with her art, and she's a very wonderful teacher in her own right. And so, yeah, you know, check out those cards. I have always carried at least one deck. I have one other deck that is currently out of print that I've been trying to figure out. I'm going to, you know, hear my own voice say, well, just do a genie thing on it. It'll be fine. The deck is so wonderful that I actually call the deck the Awesome Cards. But it's been out of print for a while, and I think I'm the publisher, if you know what I mean. And it's like, mm-hmm. I just got to get these other projects done before I take that on. So maybe I don't have to. Maybe I can do it all at once.
Well, again, I want to encourage anyone listening, if you have a question, press one on your keypad, and you can come on the air and talk to Maureen.
You know, if there's one single most important thing that you want our Starseed audience to walk away with, what would it be?
I want them to know that, number one, they are normal. They are the new normal, and that everyone else is the old model. And while they may feel different and they may feel like they don't belong, the way to work around that is to know, number one, you are special, and then learn these techniques so that you are not limited by the constraints of the old system that we are all abandoning.
Okay, great. Great. Well, I would like to say something about our host, Ariel, who's not with us tonight because she's had a death in the family. And for those of you that know how to use this technique, we do something, Maureen, called the Emerald Ray. And so I'm going to ask our listeners just to focus on Ariel in Atlanta, Georgia. And for the next 30 seconds, we're going to have silence. And in this silence, you project the Emerald Ray to our Ariel in Atlanta, Georgia. And we'll start now. Thank you so much. And Ariel, when you listen to this, you are our North Star. You're the one that put together the website. You're the one that literally had me take my material out of the vault and say it's time. And if it hadn't been for you, none of this would be happening. We wouldn't have Maureen and people like Maureen on our show. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I send to you not only the Emerald Ray, but the Emerald Rays from all the planets, the stars, the beings that are in alignment with you, your work, your voice, and the way you sing, the way you bring yourself to that high quality of magic. I appreciate it so much. And everyone that comes on our Starseed Quest has always commented on the last night you give us a concert performance, and it elevates everyone into another state of being. And I want to also say that our Starseed Quest is going to be at May 18th this year on Pleiadian lineup. So if you have these star markings in your chart, and if you've had an invitation from us, be sure to contact us at crystals@starseedhotline.com and tell us you want to go. We have several that have secured their space. And Maureen, I'd like for you to say a little bit about what you said in your book about if you want to do something, put a down payment on it. Would you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, I would. There's a marvelous story about a woman who was in Egypt with me and came back a following year and spontaneously she had a meditation in April, even though the trip was in October, and she saw herself at a site that was not part of my program. So she contacted me and said, look, you know, I really need to go to Abu Simbel. And I said, well, it's not part of our schedule. She said, I know, but I need to go. So, you know, you either figure out a way to do it or, you know, I'm out. And I checked in and I got, nope, you're supposed to go. So I said, look, we'll put it together. I will offer it as an extra. Turns out everyone signed up to go. After we were at Abu Simbel, we had our typical powwow with the entire group sharing their experiences. And this woman named Donna said, I saw you and you in my meditation last April. These two people were people that none of us knew. There were a few repeat guests on this trip, but these were new people that Donna and I had never met. So I meditated on this because I was very intrigued. How would it be that she would see, you know, Native American woman and a French woman, both with very unique personalities and facial features, and none of the people that she did know, like me or some of the other repeat guests? And the answer that came through was that those two women had paid in full last April, and their money was the energetic imprint into the quantum soup of that event, which caused it to happen and held the matrix for the rest of us, which is why when she was in meditation and she was shown, you need to be here, she saw herself there, the two people who had already paid were already in. So as I tell people, and this is on my website, you can use it for any event you want to go to, it's called Maureen's Manifestation Matrix. It is very straightforward and very simple. You go to the altar or the altar of your heart. You make a very clear statement, I want to do such and such. Please remove this obstacle, this obstacle, this obstacle, and any other obstacle I haven't thought of, and I will show up and do my part. If I'm supposed to be there, I know you guys can handle it. And you're done. You leave it on your altar, maybe tucked under a candle or someplace where you won't be poking at it, and watch the magic. It's like the water parts, and everything falls into place for you to go.
So, but by doing it energetically, by putting down a down payment, you know, even when you don't have the money will come, right? That's what you were talking about.
That's right. That's right. So you create your intention by saying you're willing to do it, and your money tells the universe you're serious. You see, it's like that 3D conversation that you have with somebody in the genie manifestation work. This manifestation matrix says to the universe, I'm serious, and here's my money to prove it.
Yeah.
How many times have we said that? You know, here, take my money. I'm serious. I want this. Well, we don't have any in your size. No problem. Take my credit card and order it and ship it to me.
Yeah.
So not only a down payment, I would encourage you, if you can manage, send in the full payment. It actually makes it easier for you personally to fill out the rest of the pieces. So if you have child care or doggy or kitty care, you have elder care, you have a job, time off, whatever your issues are, when you put it out there, the universe conspires to make it come together. Years and years ago, when I was changing jobs from one industry to the next, slightly different industries, I had written on my calendar that I wanted to go to their annual meeting, and it was the National Organization of Trade Associations, so it was a pretty big organization, and the new organization was a little more specialized, and I interviewed four times for this new job, and I'd been out of work for 3 months, but it was still on my calendar, and it was still coming up, and so when I was on my fourth interview, I thought, I'm just going to go for it. I figured they're pretty close to hiring me, and I said, you know, there is a conference I'd really like to go to. And when is it? Well, it's, you know, week after next. Well, you know, we don't really have funds for that kind of travel. But we do have this airline ticket that we're going to have to throw away. What city are you going to? Now, remember, this is long before we could not do that anymore. And I told them the city I was going to, and it was the same city for the airline ticket. I just had to travel as, you know, some other person. All right. She said, but where will you stay? And I said, oh, I have friends all over. I'll just make a phone call. I'm sure somebody will take care of me. And she said, but what about the tuition? The tuition for that you know, that big conference is like $600 or $700. And I said, well, sometimes they have scholarships. I'll just check in with them and see if I can't get a scholarship. And she said, all right, if you can pull that together, then you can go. So I worked for them for 1 week and went to this conference. But the best part was the conversation I had at the trade association when I called them. And she said, you want a scholarship for when? And you could hear, you know, the wheels clicking in her own mind, like, this woman's out of her mind. Now, I heard that energetic. I felt it. But I chose to stay in my joy. And I said, with all the enthusiasm I could bring forward, yes. And then because I was so positive and not taking her dismissive personally, she said, how many years have you been coming? And I said, 9 years. This will be my 10th year. And she said, and you've, this is the first time you've never had the money to come? And I said, yes. And she said, I think I can find you a scholarship.
Wow.
Yeah.
So put it on your calendar. Send Lavender a whole bunch of money and show up. You will be thanking me later. Hopefully we'll see each other in person if I'm supposed to be there.
I would. We would love to have, you know, I told you when I did your chart, you have all the markings of qualifying for the Starseed Quest, and only those people that do have the markings in their charts will be invited. And the reason that we've done it is because it's been so successful for us this past year, because when people come together and they see each other, and we put three to a cabin, and they've never met one another, but afterwards they say, oh, the way you paired us up, and the, how did you know? Well, we took the charts. And we put them together, and we would find the people that would complement each other. And that's how we did it. And we did it with our star markings. It wasn't so much mundane astrology that we used. We did it with the star markings, which I have found out now connects us to the soul contracts that we've made with these people a long time ago.
Sweet.
Yeah. It gets
very sweet.
Yeah, it's way down the rabbit hole to, you know, reach down, grab this information, and bring it up and go, oh, wow, I wish I'd had a cosmic V8. So
tell everyone, again, for all of our benefits, the dates.
The dates are May 18th through the 24th of May, which is Pleiadian lineup. And Pleiadian lineup is when the big ships come into our planet, and they come and check on their bloodlines. They check on the agendas that they have put in motion. And they it's an empowerment time for a lot of people on the planet. And so for us to have this at this gorgeous place over in Mountain Harbor, the Mountain Harbor Resort in Mount Ida is where it is, close to Hot Springs, Arkansas. And the first day that people arrive, We take them to the Quapaw spa, where you go and you lay in this water that's like 10 million years old. It goes over crystals that stand two stories tall, and it's probably the cleanest, most pristine water on the whole planet. And not only that, it's coated with crystal frequency that just unlocks your whole system. It's like one of the biggest DNA activations we've ever seen. So after the first day, we do that. Everybody, you know, after being on an airplane and traveling, that's the perfect thing to do on the first day. The second day, we go to Fisher Mountain, and there you will dig for crystals. And at that time, I will bring something out of the vault, and I will read something that no one else has ever seen before. And then the next day, we have a free day. We have found that when these people come together, maybe they just don't want to all, you know, have to be somewhere. Maybe they want to hang out with each other in their cabins. And every cabin has a hot tub. So there's a lot of hot tub action. And so then the next day after that, then we go to another crystal mine and find crystals at a different place. And then the day after that is another free day. And what happens with these free days is these nucleus star seeds, they get together and just really put a lot of creativity in coming together and sharing their experiences and maybe forming, you know, an alliance or companies or website. There's just no telling what all happens by the time that we get ready to leave. And, of course, the last night is Arielle. She gives us a concert because she's been a professional musician all of her life. And she has put together a group of songs that actually have the coded messages for star seeds and for this particular time that we're in Hot Springs. And I'm telling you, by the time she gets through singing at the end of that week, it's like we're all just on the ceiling, and we're all so happy that we came together in this alignment. And, you know, we have not had one person to ever complain. There's no backbiting, there's no clawing, there's no scratching. And the women, they really go into their goddess personifications, and I'm so proud to say that. Am I still on the air?
It sounds absolutely wonderful.
So, Maureen, I'm going to send you an invitation in this next week, and
okay.
I just hope that you I hope that it's something that appeals to you and something that you might want to join us with, because, you know, and like you said, and for those that have already paid their money, then you've probably set the bar for the rest of the people that are coming after hearing what you said about the trip.
That's right.
Like, the people that have paid already, we need to look at those people because they're the ones calling their soul contractors. Yeah. I think that's
I like
the way
that.
It works.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I do, too.
Chris, do we have anybody else that needs to ask a question?
No, we don't.
Well, they just must be listening and enjoying it and probably don't have anything else to say. So with that, I think that we will close this show. I do want to remind everyone about Arielle's music. She has finished it. I'll say one more time that you can go on starseedhotline.com/ArielleSings.htm and get your copy of her music. She would certainly appreciate it, and it will certainly help you in the evolution of your soul and where you're going. Whether you can come to our Starseed Quest or not, you'll be able to have the music that plays for everyone at the end of our Starseed Quest in Hot Springs, Arkansas. So, Maureen, you have been a delight. I hope to meet you very, very soon. Let's stay connected. We will want you to come back on the show at some appointed time, and because I know that you've just scratched the surface of what you could tell us about this amazing book and about the things that you've learned in your life. And I'm just so honored to be able to share this time with you this evening. And I know that our Starseed listeners, oh, they are going to send me emails over you, I can tell.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity, and I'm grateful to be part of your wonderful network. And I thank you so much for the phenomenal reading you gave me the other day as kind of a little bit of prep for me to get to know you. I was bowled over because I don't give people the opportunity to get that, you know, that kind of data. And
right. Well, and I won't say anything about, you know, your birth information except one thing, and that is you have two marks of galactic center. And the way they're placed in your chart, I had no doubt in my mind who you were. Okay?
Well, I'm deeply honored. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's a real pleasure to be here with you.
So, Chris, I'll turn it back over to you, and we'll say goodnight.
All right. Well, thank you, Lavendar, and thank you, Maureen, for joining us this evening. Again, Maureen's website is MaureenSaintGermain.com. And from all of us here at Starseed Radio Academy, thank you for listening. Arielle will be back next week. And until then, much love. Good night, everyone.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.